Joy to welcome you to our services on this Lord's Day evening. We're very happy that you're here. See, we have our coats back on tonight, a little taste of winter's back in the air, it seems like. We just can't get away from it, but it's certainly nice in here tonight. And for those of you who are visiting with us, I hope that you'll come back and be with us anytime that you can. I do want to mention very briefly one more time about the Faulkner University lectures. They're going to begin really in full force tomorrow night. I just want to call your attention to a couple of things. Our own Brother Terry Edwards is scheduled to speak at 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon. He's going to be talking about comparing spiritual things with spiritual and the natural man and the spiritual man. It'll take him all day just to tell the topic. But anyhow, that's a very interesting topic. Also, many of you are familiar with Brother Bill Battles, who's been with us on two or three occasions. He's scheduled to speak on Tuesday at two different times, at 9 o'clock, I believe, and at 10 o'clock. And I announced this morning that we're going to have Brother Keith Parker here Wednesday night. He's scheduled to speak at 8 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. So you can hear him four times if you want to get there all 3 days at Faulkner, and then, of course, be here on Wednesday night. And I want to encourage you to make your plans to be here Wednesday night. It's going to be one. I told you about Brother Davis, didn't I? I warned you. You're going to wish you'd invited somebody. Brother Parker will do the same thing. I'm telling you, you need to invite somebody to come with you Wednesday night. Let's have a house full on Wednesday night. I also want to mention that they're honoring somebody this year that we are familiar with as well at the Faulkner Lectures. Every year they honor somebody because of their contributions to Faulkner and to Christian education in general. And this year, the lectureship honoree is Dr. John Enloe Jr. and, of course, his wife Jeanette. And these are the parents of Ira Ray Wynn. So they'll be paying tribute to them on Thursday night at 5 o'clock with a special dinner. And I assume the Wynns will probably be there for that. But you're welcome to go as well if you would like to be a part of that. But these advertisements are available in all of our foyers. And I would encourage you to take advantage of as many of them as you possibly can. The invitation that I received this week to the wedding next month, the royal wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton, had RSVP on it. Respond if you please. Now, what would you do if you actually got an invitation to the royal wedding? Only 1,900 invitations were sent out. I'm sure if you were one of those that received an invitation, you would respond as quickly as you could. If you look in the dictionary at RSVP, it says the term comes from the French expression meaning please respond. Now, I don't know how many of us take the RSVP when we receive an invitation as seriously as we should, but if RSVP is written on an invitation, it means the invited guest must tell the host whether or not they plan to attend the event. It does not mean that you can respond only if you're coming, or you can respond only if you choose not to come. The expression regrets only is reserved for that instance. RSVP simply means that the host of a particular event needs a definite headcount for the event, and he needs that headcount by the date that is specified. Makes you feel important, doesn't it, when you get an invitation that has RSVP on it? Wow. I want to suggest to you tonight that you and I, as well as all mankind, are the recipients of the greatest invitation that has ever been extended. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him who is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Now, this is the invitation from God to come and to have eternal life with Him in heaven. The invitation has been delivered through the inspired Word of God. The invitation is possible because of the love that God had for lost man. That love that motivated God to send His Son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth to become a human just like us and to suffer and bleed and die on Calvary so that our sins might be forgiven. But you see, we have to respond to God's love. We have to respond to God's grace. One who is not a Christian, one who's outside the body of Christ, must respond to the Word of God. And I think we're familiar with what that involves. We can either accept the Lord's invitation or else we reject it. To respond to that Word, we must believe in God. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must be willing to repent and change our lives, turning away from the past life of sin. Commit our lives to the Lord. That's repentance. We must be willing to acknowledge with our mouths that Jesus is the Son of God. With the heart, man believes unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto, going toward salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then we must emphasize the fact that baptism is the point in which an individual contacts the saving blood of Jesus Christ. We're buried with our Lord in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And just as Jesus died and was buried, we're buried with Him in that watery grave. And we arise from that watery grave a new creature, a new creation, forgiven of every sin we've ever committed. But you know, our response to the Lord's invitation doesn't just end right there, does it? We need to realize that our lives are to be lived in a continued, a daily, if you will, response to that invitation. We are to live holy, pure, and sanctified lives. We are to be separate from the world in which we live. We are to glorify and honor and magnify the name of God by all that we think and say and do. The Christian life is a great responsibility. But then you think about the rewards that come when this life is over. I want to use those letters, RSVP, respond if you please, to emphasize some ideas that will help us understand what we need to be doing in our lives every day in response to this great invitation. May I suggest to you tonight that the R stands for read. We need to spend time every day reading God's Word. We need to purposefully set aside some time every day that we just read the Word of God. I know we're busy. I know there's so many things that are in our schedules, and so many times Bible study is just seemingly crowded out of our busy lives. I found something lately that has really helped me. I go to the Y every day, and I try to run 4 miles on the treadmill. I'm on there 35 to 40 minutes. But I've discovered they have a little contraption down there, a little plastic device that I can put on the treadmill. And I can actually put some materials on there and read and study. And the time goes by real fast if my mind is focused on something else. And so those 35 or 40 minutes is an uninterrupted time period of study, if you will, that I found to be very beneficial and worthwhile. After this lesson tonight, you may say, well, you ought to run 8 miles instead of 4, if that's all it's going to help you with. But the point is, we need to learn to use our time in the best way we can. We've got to spend time studying the Word of God. Over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible said, for to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, there's a choice all of us have to make. It's a choice that's emphasized not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. We choose between life and death. We choose between eternal life and eternal destruction. And we're making that choice right now. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. To allow the priorities of the world to be our priorities, to follow after the things of this world and the things that the world would have us to believe leads to happiness, those will lead to death. The Hollywood scene just isn't going to get it done. On the other hand, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It is eternal life, but not only that, we can live every day in peace, confident of the fact that outward circumstances, regardless of what they are, cannot take away our eternal destiny. Now, you're not going to find help in being spiritually minded out in the world. You're not going to find help being spiritually minded at the movies or on television. To the contrary, just think about the filth that we see on television today. Homosexuality is glorified and magnified. Sexual immorality of every kind is all around us. We think about the world and the emphasis that it places on success, which is in contrast to what God says true success is. You're not going to find help in being spiritually minded among those out in the world. You're not going to find it anywhere except in the Word of God. And so we need to choose life. We need to choose to be spiritually minded, realizing that the world tells us a big lie, that we can find life and peace doing the things that the world would have us to do. You know, reading God's Word helps us to focus our minds on where it needs to be. The Hebrew writer in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, talked about how we need to run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to do that by looking to Jesus, focusing on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Reading the Bible helps us to keep our focus where it needs to be. But the S in RSVP would stand for study. Not only do we need to read God's Word, but we need to study it. We need to meditate upon it. We need to spend time studying the Bible. Maybe we could study a particular topic. You know, a lot of times things that are somewhat confusing, things about which there's a lot of misinformation out in the religious world, can be easily cleared up by just studying God's Word on that topic. For example, the subject of baptism isn't a difficult subject at all to understand if you'll just take what God's Word has to say about it. Maybe you want to study about grace. Maybe you want to study about love. There's a host of topics that you can study and learn about. Maybe it's a particular book. It might be the book of James that emphasizes practical everyday Christian living. Maybe you want to study the Proverbs, the wisdom that can be found in the writings of the Proverbs. Or maybe there's a particular passage that really enthralls you and you want to delve more deeply into that particular passage. Maybe it's even a word that you would like to study. The meaning of that word, not only in its context, but maybe where it's emphasized in other passages as well. I think about how beneficial it can be to study a particular person. The Bible says all things written aforetime were written for our learning. Romans 15, verse 4. We can learn a lot by studying individuals. The life of Joseph. The life of Abraham. Perhaps it's somebody like Daniel, or maybe it's one of the prophets and the difficult times that they faced as they dealt with God's people, exhorting them to come back to the Lord. Or maybe it's one of the apostles and their life. Maybe we can study a particular person. We need to dig into God's Word and discover more fully the treasures within it. Perhaps there's something that you want to improve upon. I know as I look at my life, I find a lot of weaknesses and shortcomings. And so maybe there's an area that I feel like I need to be stronger at. Maybe it's being a better father, a better mother, a better husband, a better wife. Maybe it's being a more effective soul winner for Jesus. There's things that I can study, that I can grow stronger in my life as I try to improve upon these things. The psalmist emphasized in Psalms chapter 19, verses 8 through 11, that by the word of God, people are warned. In keeping the words of God, there is great reward. Job said in Job chapter 28 and verse 18, he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To turn away from evil is understanding." The R stands for read. The S stands for study. The V in RSVP stands for visit. We need to be involved in visiting our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. During the week away from the time when we assemble together, we need to be involved in the lives of our brethren. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, when I bear your burdens and when I try to help you with the problems that you have, it seems like that my problems all of a sudden aren't really all that great after all. By helping other people, we seemingly help ourselves. We need to encourage one another. There are some folks here within these walls right now that are going through some very, very difficult and traumatic times in their lives. And there are a lot of things that we don't even know about, that we're not even aware of, that people are having to deal with on a daily basis. Sometimes I hear about a certain individual and what they're going through, and I wonder sometimes, how can they do it? How can they deal with what they're dealing with day after day? But they bear their burdens gracefully. And we need to help one another. We need to lift up one another as much as we possibly can. James 1:27 talks about how pure religion involves visiting the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions. And that word visit there means more than just going to see them. It means alleviating their needs, helping them in the affliction that they're enduring. That's the attitude we need to have toward other people. We're not to be self-oriented. Instead, we're to be other person-centered. And yet we need to be aware of the false concept of evil companionship, the idea that other people can tear us down if we choose to hang with the wrong crowd. Evil companionships do corrupt good morals. And so, young people especially, you need to be careful who you choose as your friends. It's happened time and time again. Somebody that is a good person, basically, an individual that may be strong spiritually, gets around the wrong crowd, and before you know it, he's doing things that he never thought he would do because he's becoming like those with whom he associates. And so let's build and let's enjoy fellowship. Let's encourage. Let's edify one another. RSVP, read, study, visit, and of course you know the P stands for prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. We need to develop a pattern of prayer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I therefore exhort that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, prayer is an opportunity for us to communicate with God. And when we talk to God through prayer, we need to thank Him. We need to thank God for all the material blessings that He's given us. You think about what's going on in other countries, particularly over in the Middle East, with all the upheaval that is taking place. And just look at how richly God has blessed us. We need to thank God for these blessings. We need to thank God for the spiritual blessings we enjoy in Christ Jesus. We need to praise God for who He is and what He is and what He's done for us. And we need to make requests of our God. Some things that we need to pray for. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray that we'll have the strength to overcome Satan. Someone has said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. And we need to pray for strength. We need to pray for courage to do what's right every single day. We need to pray that we can grow and mature and be what God would have us to be. We need to pray for others. We think about many that we know who are sick. We think about those who are shut in. Those who are discouraged. We think about those who've lost loved ones. And, you know, the hurt from that just doesn't go away. We need to be there to encourage them and to pray for them on a daily basis. I think we need to pray for the church. We need to pray for the church worldwide, but we need to pray for the church here at Del Rayda in particular. Brother Tony Allen, I know, mentioned our elders tonight specifically. Now, you don't get a trophy for that, Brother Allen, but he mentioned the elders specifically tonight in the public prayer. We need to pray for our elders. We need to pray that they'll have the wisdom to lead us in the way that we ought to go. I, as the preacher, need your prayers. I know Will and Michael feel the same way. We need to pray for leaders. We need to pray for those who are working in the church. What about our teachers in our Bible school program? We need to pray for them. We've implemented a new curriculum, and Jeff and Rachel Hatcher and Rob and Mallory Baker, Dean and Stephanie have done a great job getting all this together, and it's been a lot of work for a lot of folks. We need to continue to pray for its success. You know, we need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our children. How many of us pray for our children? That they'll grow up, that they'll be faithful Christians, that they'll marry a faithful Christian who will help them get to heaven. We need to pray for our friends, our co-workers, those that are lost without hope. I saw today where this year, in 2011, the world's population will reach 7 billion souls, most of whom are lost without hope in this world. We need to pray for the lost. And folks, we need to pray for this country. I believe that the future of this country does not hinge on its foreign policy. The future of this country does not hinge on its economic plans that are implemented, its economic policies. The future of this nation is going to be based upon Christian influence. It's God that will cause nations to stand or to fall. And we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray that they would lead us in a godly way. We need to pray for our enemies, those that would hurt us, those that would harm us. And so these are some things that I hope that we've gone over tonight that can help us in our continued response to the invitation to have eternal life. We need to read God's Word. We need to study God's Word. We need to visit each other and encourage each other. And we need to pray to God, realizing the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does much good. Understanding that prayer is a way to get God to do things for us that He normally would not do if we didn't pray. Each of these things is a part of our response to God. Respond if you please. The invitation tonight is yours. If you need to come, we ask that you come now.